It's good to be back. I've been away for a few weeks, and a few of us have been away for a few weeks, and we're awfully glad to be back. I don't know if you're happy to have us back, but we're glad to be back. And we just got back from a trip to Ukraine, a team of 9 people, and we were in Ukraine doing a short-term missions trip and working with some of our missionaries that we serve over there and that we support. And so I wanted to tell you some stories today and show you some pictures and tell you a little bit from some of the team members' perspectives of how things went. And I want you to walk out of here going, wow, I can't believe what God is doing. So I want you to turn to the person beside you and go, it's going to be good today. Okay? Right out loud. Right out loud, smile, turn to the person, try it again, turn the person on the other side and go, it is going to be awesome today. Okay, so we just got back, we were away for 2 weeks, we had 2 days of traveling on either end, and so we spent about 10 days in the city of Poltava, which is in the nation of Ukraine. Poltava is a city that is also in a province called Poltava. So just like Quebec City is in Quebec province, Poltava City is in Poltava province in Ukraine. And so we had 9 people on the team. Jeff and I had been to Ukraine before. No one else had. Some of them had experience, some of them didn't. And we had a blast. And so some of you, let me just give you some context and give you some, because I'm going to draw a whole picture for you by the end that you're going to be just connecting dots all over the place. So some of you will remember about a year and a half ago, we had visiting with us just for about 10 minutes, Pastor Vadim and Tanya were here on a Sunday morning here at Evangel and spoke just about what they were doing in Poltava, just shared a little bit of all that was happening. And here's their story in a nutshell, okay? 14 years ago, say that with me, 14 years ago. How many years ago? 14. It's important you remember this because by the end, you're going to be going, I must have misheard. It's not possible that all happened in 14 years, okay? 14 years ago, they planted a church in Poltava. It's now a thriving church called Good News Church, and it has about 250 people that attend it every Sunday, about 200 adults and 50 kids approximately. So 250 people attend Good News Church, which is in Poltava and was planted how many years ago? There you go, 14 years ago. So we were there, actually, to celebrate their 14th anniversary, and we got to be part of this special service and all kinds of celebrations of things that were happening. I think there's a whole group shot of the entire congregation for that 14th anniversary. There it is. And so there we are in the front row, and we got to be part of the whole thing. That's the building that they've moved into. Now, over this 14 years, let me tell you some of the things that they've done, some of the priorities and some of the dreams that have been part of Good News Church, okay? Number one, their first priority, Good News Church, when they started 14 years ago, their first priority was to be a church planting church. So they didn't just want to be a church that would be on their own and starting off and then just growing as big as they could. They said, we want to be a church that plants other churches. And so around the region of Poltava, there's all kinds of villages and little isolated communities. And so they said, we want to start a church in as many of those as we can, whatever that looks like. And so in 14 years, they have started 44 churches. I feel like you didn't hear that. 44 churches. Now, there are cell groups within Good News Church, and I'm not counting those. But some of the ones that are in isolated communities or are in their own spaces, some of them are like 5 or 6 people in somebody's living room, but they have a leader that's appointed by the Poltava Church to lead them. Some of them have 20, 30. We were in one that had 50 people, and they have their own building in their own space. So 44 gatherings of believers, separate gatherings of believers around the city of Poltava. So it makes a total of 700 people approximately that have been reached by this one church that was planted how many years ago? 14 years ago, okay? So that's pretty exciting. And Pastors Vadim and Tanya, they appoint leaders for all of them. That's Pastor Lila playing a guitar there. They appoint them, they mentor them, they train them. Sometimes they financially support them, and they give them everything that they need so that they can get churches going in their own communities. That was their first priority. Their second priority that they had, this dream happened, this opportunity came along, and they had a chance to buy this building that you're seeing on the screens. Now, this is a whole miracle. This building is an abandoned plate factory. That's what it was. And you could find little bits of china kind of still through there from when the plates were being made there. And I told you before that when they got this building, there was actually a tree growing through one part of it because it was so just destroyed on the inside. And so they had an opportunity. It's on one of the main streets of Poltava. have a, just a phenomenal location where the bus goes right by. And there's a whole miracle story that is involved in how they managed to get this building. The miracle story is a couple of years long in actuality and takes at least an hour to tell you the whole story. And I don't have time to do that today. But I will tell you, it is a miracle that they have this building. It was worth $3.5 million at U.S. at one point. They managed to buy it for $350,000 U.S. with a congregation of 200 people, some of whom make $48 a month. That's a miracle. Only God can do that kind of a thing. And there's no such thing as a mortgage. It has to be paid in cash. And when it happened and they finally were able to work the whole deal through, the church had been praying and fasting for a year and a half. They had been giving sacrificially. They had been watching different miracles happen over and over and over again through business people and through politicians and all different things. And at the last minute, when they finally were able to pay and go to the bank, take the money to the bank and sign the deed and say, this is ours, it was just a few hours later that that bank closed their doors and pulled out of Ukraine because the Maidan Revolution was happening and they never came back and that window would never have opened again. Okay? This building is a miracle. And so it has been completely destroyed inside and they have been working slowly, mostly with volunteer labor and as they can raise the funds for material to reclaim that building and make it usable. So that's the main sanctuary for now. That is the part that they have fixed up. They've managed to fix up about a third of the building and make it look the way it's supposed to. And then the rest of the building doesn't look quite so good. I think there may have been a picture up there at one point. But the rest of the building, that's one of the better parts. Some of it has dirt floors and holes in the roof and all of that, and they are little by little working to fix that up, and their dream is to make it a whole entire Christian community center in the heart of Poltava. So a building that can house their church, but can also house other churches that come along. A building that can house children's programs. A building that can hold community programs. A building that can hold a dance studio. Anything where they can just help to do good in their community and be a Christian presence in the heart of the community. That's their second dream. Their third dream, okay, so 44 churches, then got this miracle building, and they got a whole community center dream happening about that. Their third one was, in the middle of all this, in the middle of planting their own church and planting 44 others and getting this miracle building, they also committed themselves that they were going to be involved in a local orphanage that is mostly girls with special needs or developmental disabilities. And they have been involved in this orphanage faithfully, helping financially and helping by volunteering there and being part of it. They have been involved there faithfully for 10 or 11 years. And can I just tell you, you can go to orphanages in Ukraine that are difficult and that are hard to visit and that are rough and have all kinds of challenges. This one is amazing. This one is filled with joy. It's filled with love. It's clean. The kids are well cared for because the Church of Jesus Christ has been part of this orphanage and people are being taken care of. Isn't that amazing? All of that has happened in 14 years. Okay? So now I want to tell you some of the things that we have done, that we did as our team while we were there. You're going to see little bits of feedback from different team members just telling you what they experienced. But let me just tell you a little bit. A lot of what we did for the 10 days that we were there was we visited some of these little village churches. And so some of them are in small storefronts. Some of them are in somebody's living room. We visited two seniors' homes, residential seniors' homes, and went and visited them. And our team was really impacted to participate. Sometimes we would do two or three services a day and travel kind of an hour in between to the next one and then do the same thing again. And we would encourage the pastor and somebody on our team would share a testimony or a story of God at work in their lives. And somebody would preach and give a sermon. And sometimes there was a kids program. And then, of course, there was always food. Every time you go to a village, it doesn't matter that you've already eaten four times that day. You will eat again, whether you want to or not. And so there was all kinds of food spread out in front of us. So take a look at some of the team's reactions to going to some of these village churches.
The highlight of the trip for me was the first thing. We went to a house church in the village. It was very small, crowded, and intimate. The intimacy and hospitality brought to mind the New Testament church where Mary and Martha waited on Jesus. Everywhere we went, we were showered with love. It was very touching to me. I shed some tears and I gave lots of hugs. It was an awesome trip.
Good morning. My name is Beverly. One experience that profoundly affected me was going into a village church and meeting Pastor Jenna and her husband. They moved from an apartment in the city of Poltava to this small village where they only had outdoor toilets and more primitive surroundings, as per our standards anyway. But their incredible love for the village people caused them to sacrifice their life in the city and to go door to door in this village inviting people into their homes. They didn't even know how to play guitar, but learned so that they could do praise and worship with these people. Their amazing commitment, sacrifice, and dedication to bring the love of Jesus to these village people was mind-blowing.
Hi, this is Lennox from Kiev. I want to tell you about one of my memorable experiences on my mission trip here to Ukraine. It is with Pastor Jana, who is a church planter. We had service in our home, and it was an awesome experience to see people jamming up in her room, filling up her living room, although it was a small space. And her expression of love and desire to serve God. And at the end of our meeting, we had such a sumptuous meal. And these folks do not have anything much. They're not working, so they have an income. And they had a spread for us. And it touches your heart to see they that have little has done so much by giving to us so much. We came to be a blessing and to share the love with Jesus, but they have in turn blessed us so much. And that's one of my really memorable experience on this trip.
That's some of the impact that was made and some of the connections that happened as we visited village churches. I want to tell you about some of the youth connections we made as well. Some of our team got to spend time with some of the youth that are part of the main church in Poltava, their youth group, and we got to be part of one of their home groups. And so on the Friday night after we arrived, so we had been on the ground in Ukraine for about 24 hours. We had no idea what time or day it was because we were tired and jet-lagged and everything else. But we went to a home group behind an apartment building, and I'm going to tell you about that apartment building a little bit later and who lives there. But there's a home group that meets in an apartment there, but the weather was nice and there were a lot of people. And so we met instead in the alley behind the home group, and we got to connect with some of the youth that were there. And Janaina had a story to tell about the impact that had on her.
Hi, Evangel. Here's Janaina. I just want to say that it's been so good, that experience to go to Ukraine in missions. And my godly moment was when we first had the youth meeting on a Friday night. I was asked to share my testimony with them, and I was a little concerned. I didn't know how they would react about it. And from my surprise, after sharing my testimony, two young girls came to see me to say that they felt really touched by it. And I was so glad to see how God works, and sometimes your pain, through your healing process, God can work in someone else's life. So I was really glad to hear that my story could touch someone. And that's it.
Some of the youth connections that we made just happened as we were working alongside of what was already happening. So when we go on a missions trip, we don't just go and go, look, here we're the Canadians and we're going to run a show now. We often try to join in with what's already happening and encourage the leaders that are there or encourage some of the participants that are there and just say, we just think you're doing a great job. And so some of us, specifically the one that I'm married to, got to participate in the youth worship band that was happening in the Poltava Church in Good News Church. And Jeff had a story to tell about one of the unique moments that happened with him as he shared in that.
Hey, Evangel. I just wanted to share with you one of the highlights of my trip to Ukraine. I brought my guitar, and at the last minute, I grabbed a couple of sets of drumsticks, too, because I wasn't sure what I'd be doing when I got here. And I play guitar a little, but I played drums a lot more, and I was able to play with the youth band in Poltava Zhenya and Bogdan. I work with them and train them. And they wanted me to play one night, so I got to play. And I got to meet their drummer, Pasha. And Pasha, I guess, had been losing his desire to play. And he had hit a level, you know, that he couldn't get by. And so Zhenya wanted me to play drums to show that there's maybe another level that he could get to. And I was able to do that, and I was able to give him a set of drumsticks for him. And I think it really helped him see that there was another level that he could get to and stay committed to the youth team. And for me, that was a real special moment. So thanks for your support.
So we got to do some of the village services. We got to work with youth. We also got to work with kids a little bit. And most of our team visited that one orphanage that I told you about that the church has been involved with for years. And thank you to all of those that made the hats that we gave out to those little kids. And the ones that we didn't give there, we made sure that they got to where they needed to go so that children would know Jesus loves them because somebody in Canada knitted them a little hat. So we did that. But then we also participated in some of the kids programs that were part of the village services. So sometimes when we went to a village service, it would be their regular service, and there would be a kids program, and some of our team would help with that. Sometimes it was a special service, and the word had been sent out in the village, there's a bunch of Canadians coming, which is a big thing, because Canadians don't really come, foreigners don't really come to these isolated villages, and so the word would go out, and there was going to be a special service. And so then what happened was our team would arrive a couple hours beforehand, and it was our job to walk around with some of the Ukrainian leaders and invite people to church, which is tricky in a place where nobody speaks English. And so we learned how to walk down the street and to walk up to someone and say, "Yais Canada." And they would look at us because that means I'm from Canada, okay? So why don't you learn it with me, okay? We got to learn this together. You ready? Yais Canada. Okay, turn the person beside you. Go, "Yais Canada. I'm from Canada," which makes people stop and go, "What on earth?" And so they just look at you, and then you have the chance to keep on talking. And then we learned how to say, "Prihodite na služenie." Uh-huh. We learned to say that. You want to say it with me? You ready? Prihodite. Prihodite. I don't feel like you're trying, okay? You got to roll the R, okay? Prihodite na služenie. Prihodite na služenie. Blah, 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 blah. Which means, come to our service. So we walk up to people in the street and we go, "Hi, yais Canada, I'm from Canada. Prihodite na služenie, come to our service." And that's all we had. And then we would hand out flyers that were pre-printed that said where the service was going to be and when it was going to be. And the thing is, when you did these services, you never know who was going to come. You don't know if you're going to get 2 people or 20 people. You don't know if you're going to get adults or you're going to get kids. And so one day in one of these services, we had the most awesome adult service planned ever. I mean, it was just angels. We're going to be there. But the problem that happened was, or the challenge, or the God moment that happened, was we had 2 adults that came and 20 kids right in the front row. So 30 seconds before we started the most perfect adult service that has ever been designed, we said, "Let's make it a children's program." And we did, with hardly any warning at all. And some of the most dignified members of our team that you think are really grown up and adult and dignified, they were right on the ground, running around with kids on their hands and knees. Some of them had kids on their shoulders playing with them. And I took an adult sermon and turned it into a children's story with actions and sound effects with hardly any notice. And we had a great time. And so another time, we did one of these, you know, walk around the village, invite people, and then they came, and we had a bunch of adults that came and a few kids. And so partway through the service, after the music was done, the couple of the Ukrainian leaders said, "We're going to take the kids out," and some of our team members went with them. Priscilla was one of these team members, and this is her story.
Hi, I'm Priscilla, and I'm really excited to be on the missions trip here in Ukraine. We got to meet the people who we support, which is Donna and Zhenya. They work with the youth and the young people, and I really was excited to see exactly what they do. We got to spend some time with them when they did a children's ministry in the park, and they just took a few of the kids from the church and started the activity in the park, and kids started coming out of nowhere to join us. And they went out afterwards and bought everybody ice cream and just really connected with them. And it was really sweet to see how much the kids connect with them and the influence that they have there.
So you're hearing the names Zhenya and Donna quite a bit, or Zhenya and Bogdana. This is a couple that we support here at Evangel. They are this young couple. They are part of Good News Church in Poltava, the main church that was planted 14 years ago. They are a part of that church. They moved to Poltava maybe 2 or 3 years ago because they felt that God was calling them there. I and Jeff have known Zhenya for about 10 years. We knew him when he was a teenager, and now he's married, and they have a baby on the way. So he and Bogdana together are people we support. And our team got to meet them and got to work with them a little bit. Here's Rosanna's story of how she was impacted by them.
I'm Evangel. This is Rosanna Dvorka from Kiev, Ukraine. Just want to tell you what an exciting and wonderful and blessed trip that I'm having. I'd like to talk about a couple that I met in one of the villages. His name is Zhenya, and his beautiful wife is Bogdana. They're expecting their first baby. I'd like to talk how much we fell in love with them before the trip. Just hearing about them, reading about them, and they're expecting their first baby. But the joy of the Lord is in their heart, their work with the youth group, with the music, with very little that we have, that they have to offer here. Financially, physically, but yet mentally and spiritually, they are the best that I have seen in a long time. I want to say is that we love them. It is one of the most blessed trips that I've been on and the most blessed people that I've had the opportunity to meet. I thank them very much for their love. I am coming back to Montreal because my heart is also left, a little bit of my heart is left in Ukraine. The love of these people with the little bit that they have is just wonderful. Yet their love for us and the things that they have been doing for us, it's unbelievable. The blessing for us, I am bringing back the blessing of Ukraine to Montreal and to our church in Evangel, to all our friends, brothers, and sisters. I just want to thank you for listening to us, praying for us, and supporting us in whatever way that you did on this trip that we are in Ukraine.
Your missions giving helps to support Zhenya and Donna, and I just want to tell you just about the practical side of what that looks like. If we did not give the support that we do, the financial support to Zhenya and Donna, they would not live where they do. And where they live is the apartment that we said we met the youth group at. There was a youth home group, and we met in the alley behind the apartment. That's Zhenya and Donna's apartment. And they were able to move there maybe a year or two ago because of support that they received from Evangel and from some others. Before that, they lived on the outskirts of town in a very small, very difficult place, and it was a place that's actually very difficult to get to. And so they were trying to run a home group to disciple some of the youth in the church, but the youth couldn't get there, and it was very difficult for that to happen. As soon as the support started and they were able to do what they do, they were able to move to this apartment that is much better located near the center of town. And their youth group overnight doubled in size because kids could get to it and kids could be part of what they're doing. And so they mentor kids from there, they hold groups for kids there, and they do all kinds of stuff in that space, and that support has helped them to be able to do that. In addition, the support that we give enables them to be able to pay their bills while they're doing ministry. So both Zhenya and Donna have jobs. They are both trained. He is self-employed doing home renovations, and she teaches at the local dental academy. In Canada, those would both be very lucrative jobs. In Ukraine, they are not, and they never will be. And so they are jobs that they are working at, but because of the support that we give, they can live in a place they wouldn't be able to live, and they can donate hours of their time to minister, to do youth, and to help at the church, and to run the McJoyful Christmas, and to do all of the things that they do, different youth camps, and all of that. And they can do that while also making sure that they eat and they pay their bills. It's practical stuff, missions is. And they don't know you, of course, most of you, but they wanted to say thank you because they're so grateful for the opportunity to do what they do because of what you give. And so I have a video of them saying thank you, and here's how this is going to go. Their English is very limited, so they're speaking Russian, and there's a translator speaking English, but they decided to do it Ukrainian style, so it's all happening at the same time. So there's at least two voices, maybe three, going at the same time. So I would suggest, if you can't find in your hearing the audio of the translator's voice, we added captioning so you can read what's being said, and then you can hear this message from Zhenya and Donna. Let's hear it.
Дорогая церковь Евангел, мы передаем вам привет из Украины, из города Полтавы. И нас зовут Женя, и это моя жена Богдана.
И мы благодарны Господу за то, что мы можем служить подросткам. Мы лидеры домашней группы. Также лидер прославления Женя. Мы имеем также ребят, которые в наставничестве у нас.
Boys and girls.
На Рождество мы проводим рождественские программы в Макдональдсе.
McDonald's Christmas
McJoyful. И также мы проводим молодежные детские лагеря.
And also we are in charge of youth Christian camps.
Также школы для начинающих служителей.
Also we oversee schools for
beginning ministers. И мы очень благодарны Господу за то, что Он так много дал нам даров и талантов.
He gave us so many gifts and talents.
И мы, конечно же, хотим сказать вам большое спасибо за поддержку и молитвы.
And your prayers.
И у нас есть большая мечта.
And we have a great.
Мы хотим каждого увидеть вас лично и сказать в лицо вам спасибо большое. Пусть Бог вас благословит.
Ждем вас в Украине.
We will be waiting for you in Ukraine.
Goodbye.
That's Jenny and Donna. That's two of Evangel's missionaries, two of our global workers, and they are our friends. We wanted to let you know that our team took with us from Evangel's Missions Fund, we took about $2,000 U.S. that we had the freedom as a team to give where we felt it would be needed. And what we did was we went through the whole trip, and then at the end of the trip decided together as a team where to give that $2,000. So in the end, I'll tell you the decision we made and how we got there. We decided to give all of the $2,000 to Pastors Vadim and Tanya, who were the ones at the beginning that I told you about, who planted this church 14 years ago and are overseeing all of these other ministries that I've just told you about. We said we wanted to give it to them for them to use where most needed. But what we did was we said, you know, there were three things on the trip that caught our attention that we thought it would be great if they could use it in one of those three things. That would be awesome. But we decided to leave it to them because they're the leaders on the ground and they're the ones that know what can be best met. And so we did that. But these are the three things that caught our attention. First of all, in that building that they got, the one I already told you about, that's the big miracle building in Poltava, there's one space that they really need to renovate, and there is a leak in the roof. And by leak, I mean hole. You can see the sky. And Ukraine and Poltava has the same climate as Montreal. So imagine trying to hold church in a building that in which you can see the sky, not through a skylight, but just because it's right there. So every time it snows, every time it rains, there's damage that's done. It's in a part of the building they're not using yet, but it's the next part that they need to renovate. And they need to have that fixed. They have the materials to do it. We saw the materials piled right there, ready to go. They just need the labor to be able to get it done. And some of it will be done by volunteers, but some of it has to be done professionally, and there's no way around that. And so they really need to get that done. And that will cost, probably they figure about $8,000, depending on how much they could get for volunteer labor. So that was one thing we said, hey, we'd love to be able, if that's helpful, put it towards that. The second thing that caught our attention that we said, maybe you want to put the money this direction, was a village church where the pastor's name was Oleg, Pastor Oleg. And they are a church that met when they started, and they met in a tent for 5 years, summer, fall, winter, and spring, in a tent for 5 years, this church met there. They had the land. but they didn't have a building. Now they have the very beginnings of a building, and you can't see part of it that's built in this picture, but there is one room that has been built with bricks, and we met in that room on the Sunday morning and had a service with them there. And then they took us outside, and they showed us the foundation and the outline of where the rest is going to be. And so they kind of stood in one space, and you can see him standing there, and he's going, this is where the children will be, and this is where the washrooms will be, and this is where, and they have it all laid out. They have some materials, but there's obviously a lot of work to be done. That captured our hearts, and so we mentioned that to Pastors Vadim and Tanya. The third need that caught our attention that we mentioned to them was a village church where the pastor's name is Leela. You saw her earlier. She was sitting down and playing a guitar. And Pastor Leela actually pastors several churches, but this one that's in this village is in a village that exists because it is surrounded by three prisons. There are three prisons all in the same area, and that is where this village is. And so everyone basically in this village either works at one of the prisons or they are one of the people that has been released from prison and is trying to rebuild their lives. It's a tough community, and they are planting a church there. So they have the second floor of a local building that they have been able to obtain in order to hold their church services. They've done some very basic renovations on that second floor where the walls have been cleaned and made structurally sound. There's nothing fancy, nothing finished in it, but the basic stuff has been done. But the problem is this flight of stairs that you can see. This is the only access to the second floor. And instead of steps that are wooden or concrete like we would normally see, they're literally iron rungs, steel rungs that are resting through in some places like you would see on a ladder. And in a couple of places, there's only one rung to step on. And so they really can't use the space because especially some of the older people simply can't do the stairs. And so they need those stairs to be completely reconstructed and redone so that they can move on. So those were the three things that we said to Pastor Vadim and Tanya. We've got $2,000. This is what we want to give you. These are the things that caught our attention. But you do what needs to be done most, and you designate it as needs to happen because we trust your leadership, and we left it up to them. But we wanted to say thank you to you because it's your giving that enabled us to take that with us and be able to help meet some of those needs. The thing when you take a short-term missions trip like this and you take a team somewhere to see all that's happening, the team always has different expectations of things that are going to happen, and those expectations are all met and it's all good. The thing that often catches them by surprise is the friendships that get built while you're there. And the relationships that get started that are just, they just become something that's deep in your heart, something that becomes long-term. It's this, you know, we say at Evangel, welcome home. We go somewhere else, and there is again this feeling of home. So check out what Gary had to say as he experienced that.
Hi, Evangel, it's Gary. We're here at the Frankfurt Airport, and I'm running on about 3 hours sleep right now. But I just wanted to tell you some of the things that I really felt were important about this trip. First of all, I stepped out in faith, and I actually preached 3 times at 3 different churches, which was not something I had planned on doing before I came. But that's probably not the most important thing about this trip. I found the Ukrainian people were so loving and generous. And I figure I got at least 5 to 10 hugs a day. So that's probably close to 100 hugs I've had over 2 weeks. And I like hugs, so that was great. That's it. Bye.
When you're running on 3 hours sleep, sometimes you don't know how to end. You just go, bye. But, 100 hugs in 2 weeks. It's this feeling of home. It's this feeling of belonging. And that's something that characterizes or should characterize every church around the world, no matter where it is. And it was part of the feeling of the early church, the very first church after Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension to heaven. The early church is described in Acts chapter 2, and it says they spent their time learning from the apostles, and they were like family to each other. They also broke bread, and they prayed together. Everyone was amazed by the many miracles and wonders that the apostles worked. All the Lord's followers often met together, and they shared everything they had. They would sell their property and possessions and give the money to whoever needed it. And day after day, they met together in the temple. They broke bread together in different homes and shared their food happily and freely while praising God. Everyone liked them, and each day the Lord added to their group others who were being saved. That's the picture of the church. That's a picture of home. That's a picture of the kind of church that you can say welcome home to. A group of people that eats together and prays together and worships together and learns together and meets together and gives sacrificially together and that looks after each other and cares for each other and sees miracles happen together. This is what church is. This is how it looked in the early church. This is how it looks in Ukraine, and this is how it looks, hopefully, here at Evangel on most of our good days, that this becomes a place where we can say, welcome home, coming together, making space for each other, and knowing that each one of us belongs. Last week while I was in Ukraine, I got an email, and it was forwarded to me from Pastor Tim, and it was from one of the students that has been one of our young adults while they were here in Montreal, and they're no longer here. But while they were here, they were going to school, and they just left maybe a month or so ago. And they were part of the home group that meets at Jeff's and my home, part of the Connect group that was there. And they had connected, and they sent this message to Pastor Tim just last week. And here's what it said. Hey, Tim, I just wanted to say thank you. Before coming to Evangel, I always viewed going to church as a chore. I saw it as a place full of closed-minded people competing for a place in heaven. At least, that's how it was in my church at home. There was no welcoming to visitors at all. But I remember coming to Evangel for the first time because I was so homesick, and you were the first person I met. And from that conversation, I knew, stealing Patty's words, that I was welcomed home. Unfortunately, I'm not coming back to Montreal for school, but I thought it was necessary to express my gratitude to you. Connect groups really helped make an otherwise extremely difficult semester much better. And I miss it so much that I'm actually trying to start something similar at my church here. Once again, thank you. This is the kind of church that welcomes people home. This is the kind of church that says whether you're here or whether you're in Ukraine or whether you're a student that is here for just a few years or you're somebody that's here a long time or you're just here and this is your very first Sunday today, this is the kind of church where we look at each other and we say, you belong, and we welcome each other home. Turn to the person beside you and just go, welcome home. Welcome home. And you are part of all of this. You are part of this church. You are part of God's church in Ukraine. You're part of God's church around the world. And so what we wanted to do this morning, and we're just going to take a few extra moments longer than we normally do, but what we wanted to do this morning was we wanted to close our service by coming together with the same ancient practice that is practiced by churches around the world all through history. The same thing over and over as church after church after church remembers and celebrates the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because that's why we're here. That's why we belong. That's why we're family. That's why we can look at each other and say, welcome home, because Jesus is the one who has created home for us. So we're going to do communion together. We're going to take the Lord's Supper together this morning. And so I'm going to ask, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to ask all of you to stand at this moment. And I'm going to ask those who are serving to move to their stations, and the worship team is going to come up here. And let me just explain how we do it here and how we do communion together here. I want you to know, first of all, that if you are a follower of Jesus, but maybe this isn't your home church or this isn't where you always are, that doesn't matter. We want you to participate anyway. You are home today. So if you're a follower of Jesus, please feel free to participate. If you are not yet a follower of Jesus, but today you're going, this is the day I think I'm ready to make the decision. I want you to participate. We're going to pray a prayer together that will just ask God to forgive all of our sins and bring us back closer to Him and to accept Jesus as our Lord and give our lives to Him. And when we do that, you just pray that prayer along and we can participate in it together. But here's how it's going to work. You can see there's different stations at the front, halfway back, at the back, and downstairs in the Connect Cafe. And you're going to just move to one of those stations, and you're going to pick up some bread, and you're going to pick up a little bit of juice, and you're going to take it back to your seat where you are, and just wait. Just hold it there. And once we've all got the bread and the juice, and we're all back to our seats, then I'll lead it from the platform, and together we'll take the Lord's Supper together. So God, at this moment, would you bring our thoughts into line with yours again? God, would you help us to remember you? Would you help us, oh God, to know that we are home because of you? Help us to take these next few moments in reverence, these next few sacred moments in worship and thankfulness to you. In Jesus' name. Why don't you just step out of your seats wherever you are. Just move to one of the stations, whichever is closest or has the shortest lineup. Get some bread, get some juice, take it back to your seat, and just wait there, and we will all take it together.